Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Exterior is Dutch Boy's most durable exterior paint. With its Rain Rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, The Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed podcast, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 404. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Tool Shed Pod. Rolling solo in this one. We've got a lot of fun players to talk about. A bit of a AAA theme today. Talk about some players that are not performing so well. A recent pitcher that got optioned back down to AAA. But vast majority of these players are performing well. Some are bigger names. Some are a bit underrated names. Some guys finding their way. You know, other guys not so much. But a little mix of everything. But everybody has a AAA theme to it today. So that's what I'll be digging into. But before I do, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. You can find my content on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners. Import your leagues with TeamSync and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with Rotoballer's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our Premium Pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio. And use the discount code TOOLSHED at checkout. All right, we'll start off with the bad. I like getting the bad out of the way and finish the show on a positive note. Only 4, you know, in the bad column this episode, but we'll start with Taj Bradley, who was recently optioned down to AAA Durham. Kind of a mixed bag from Bradley this season. He hasn't been bad by any means, but not good either, and pretty underwhelming in general. The big difference for Bradley, I mean, you know, he currently has a 4.61 ERA in 21 starts, 1.28 whip, 95 strikeouts, 111 and a third innings. Has been the, you know, this is a lower strikeout rate. This is a guy that was 28% in his 2023 rookie year, 26.6% last year, and just 20.2% this year. And whiff rate has gone down as well, from 27.4% last year, 22.3% this year. He's allowing more contact within the zone by about 3.5-4% higher there. Chase rates dropped about 4% from 30.5% down to 26.3%. And just a lot of metrics that have just gone in the wrong direction so far this year. You know, walk rate gone up a little bit too, but still kind of in line. That 8-9% range where he's been, every year of his career so far. You know, I guess one saving grace, like, if you'd like expected metrics, his xERA is 3.71. So that's nearly a full run lower than his surface ERA. Like I said, it hasn't been all bad. I mean, he's allowing less hard contact. There's something. Barrel rates dropped from 10.2% to 6.1. Average EV allowed is down 2 miles an hour. Hard hit rate down nearly 4%. So that's all good. And but it just comes back to the bat missing is not there. And yeah, you could say some of it might have, you know, to do with playing in the smaller, you know, the minor league park. Well, he does have a 5.43 ERA at home, 3.76 on the road. That does play into it, but just that doesn't explain the, you know, the bat missing just not being quite up on the level that we've come to kind of know from Bradley first couple of years of his career. But he's still 24 years old. He's still in, you know, one of the better pitching dev systems in baseball with Tampa Bay. So again, it's not all bad. It's not, oh, we need to be out on him. I am far from being out on Taj Bradley. I mean, he's still got a good pitch mix, you know, four seamer averaging 96 miles an hour this year, cutter around 90. That is down a mile an hour from last year, but still 90 mile an hour cutter, 91 mile an hour splitter in the low 80s curveball. Those last three all have a whiff rate above 25%, although they are all down from last year. Cutter's down from 32.4% whiff rate to 30.5. Splitter is down from 33 to 25.6, and curveball from 34.6 to 32, and also a four-seamer down from 21% to a 17% whiff rate. You know, so whiff rates are all down there. Getting more ground balls, which is also nice, 4.5% increase on the ground ball rate. But, you know, I would definitely not be out on a Taj Bradley at this point. I mean, it's kind of hard to hold on to him in redraft, but in Dynasty, I think he's a solid buy low. I mean, really, I mean, again, 24 years old, still very, very young. And we've seen him, you know, have the potential to be, you know, like an SP3 type for fantasy. I still think, you know, top 40-ish pitcher potential is still there with Bradley. So I think it's far too soon to give up on him. Still some good in the profile. Just needs to get back to missing more bats. That's really, again, what it all boils down to here. So if the price tag has come down on Bradley, which I assume it has, he's been pretty maddening to roster this year just due to the sheer inconsistency, you know, week to week, start to start, month to month with him. So I'm assuming the price tag has come down, but I think there's still a good arm to be had here. So if you can get him for, you know, 80 cents on the dollar, I think I definitely will at least kick those tires to see. Especially if you're like a non-contending team and maybe Bradley was being rostered by a contending team who's now like, oh, what do I do with this guy? Yeah, I think you could swoop in and get him for, you know, a pretty solid discount right now in Dynasty Leagues. Next up, yeah, I hate to have to talk about this again. So I think this has been maybe one of the more, you know, consistent topics on this show over the last nearly 5 years. Chase DeLauder is hurt again. You know, or at least a topic over the last 3 years since DeLauder's been drafted in 2022. But we've talked about this several times, you know, over the years, Clegg and I. And DeLauder's back on the IL again with like a hand wrist issue. He's, you know, seeing a specialist and all that. So who knows if we see him again this season? It's, I think that's still kind of to be determined. But it's just another IL stint for a guy that has yet to play. More than, let's see, the most games he's played in his career. I mean, he didn't play in the minors in 2022 after he was drafted. 2023, we got 57 games and 242 plate appearances from him. Last year, 39 games, 164 plate appearances. This year, 42 games, 177 plate appearances. So we've gotten in two and two-thirds-ish seasons a combined 138 games and 583 plate appearances. You know, the numbers have been good. When he's on the field, he's got, in those 138 games, he has 40 doubles, 20 home runs, 8 steals, 70 walks to 80 strikeouts, 302, 384, 504 slash line. And, you know, the metrics under the hood, as I've kind of mentioned a bunch, are still really good. He's got a contact rate over 80%. Hard hit rate about 52%, barrel rate 12.5%. You know, the approach is obviously there. Is a, you know, you just look at the strikeout to walk ratios. This guy just doesn't strike out much, gets on base. Like, you know, I sound like a broken record, I'm sure, but this is a top 10 prospect talent with a bottom 10 durability tool. That's so at this point, it's kind of hard to even me being probably the biggest Chase DeLauder guy around, if I'm not, point that person out to me. I know I think I am the biggest DeLauder supporter in the industry from what I've seen, especially now. I mean, people, I'm sure, still think he's super talented, but you know, I think they've dropped him further down rankings than I have due to all the injuries. But at this point, I need to drop him even further. I'm probably still going to be the high man on him. I'm sure of that. But he's hard to like endorse going after right now. Again, if you're, you know, out of it, you know, rebuilding team and the price tag is super cheap here, sure. I mean, obviously, it's all about price. It always boils down to price tag. So if you can get him for cheap, like a back-end top 100 price tag or something like that, I'm still 100% for it. If he's costing you a top 50 price tag, I mean, I'm still going to have him top 50. Because, again, I think the talent is so immense that it warrants it, at least in my mind, the way I kind of formulate my rankings. But I could see being a bit more, you know, reserved in going after him at that price tag. So, I don't know. I guess it all depends. But, again, if you're rebuilding and it's a cheaper price tag, I'm not opposed. I mean, even this year, he was getting as many walks as strikeouts, 379 OBP. He was really getting going at the plate lately. So, got really a bummer to see. Like, him and Jordan Lawler, man, like, they just can't stay healthy. They're both immensely talented, fantasy-friendly profiles, all of that, but that hidden sixth tool that doesn't show up in a scouting report, at least not as like a, you know, tool grade with a number next to it, is durability. And I think that might be the most important tool. You could have all the tools in the world. DeLauder has shown that. Other players have shown that. Byron Buxton, perfect example of it. Royce Lewis. You can have all these tools. You can't stay healthy and be on the field to showcase those tools. That's an issue. So, yeah, DeLauder hurt again. Not great. All right, a couple of pitchers here now who are not performing so well. Quinn Matthews, who been a weird year for Quinn Matthews. You know, had a little bit of an injury earlier on this season. You know, he missed about 5 weeks or so. Came back mid-May. You know, a couple of starts. To, you know, had a start down in the complex level. Had a start with low A. Then in the very end of May, got bumped back up to AAA. Got off to kind of a rocky start there. There needs to be finding his way for a little bit, but the one consistent part of his inconsistent season has been walks. And it's becoming kind of an issue at this point. I mean, look at his walk totals. His last, you know, several starts, 4 in 4 innings, 5 3 2/3. Let's see, where's it's lost my throw here. 2 in 4, 4 in 4 2/3, 3 in 4 2/3, 6 in 1 1/3, 2 in 5, and then 4 in 3. The last time without a walk or even one walk or less was his start on June 6th. So he has a couple of six. Well, this was even an issue before the injury, like early on in the year. First three starts with AAA Memphis, he had 15 walks in just 10 1/3 innings. Two of those outings, he had 6 walks. So, yeah, that's becoming an issue now with Quinn Matthews. You know, this is a guy that he's a bit older. I mean, it was a later breakout, obviously, last year. He was kind of the one that I was hesitant to bump, you know, up my rankings, at least, you know, a big bump up my rankings. He was moving up. But just given that the previous, you know, lower velocity and just the older age, I was like, all right, let's see if this sticks. Let's see if the velocity can stick all season. It did. So as later in the year, he kept, you know, pitching well. Velocity was still there. So I gave him a bigger jump, you know, in the second half of last season. Now, I don't know. I mean, walks, he's never been a command and control specialist by any means. But, you know, the walk rate last year was much more manageable. He had 49 walks in 143 in the third innings. and he had overall an 8.6% walk rate. You know, that's much more manageable. This year, he has nearly as many walks. He has one fewer walk this year in 90 fewer innings, 48 walks in 53 and a third innings. That's a walk rate 19.8%. That's great for a hitter. It's one Soto level for a hitter. That's terrible for a pitcher. And yeah, oh, the ABS system. Okay. Yes, the ABS system can lead to higher walk rates, but this is damn near 20%. You know, that point, you can't just blame it on the ABS. I'm partially sure, but it's not like I'm talking about like a 12% walk rate where, you know, it's only up a few percentage points from last year. Now that he's in AAA, I could see making that argument. But this is definitely an issue. He's missing fewer bats as well. He hasn't looked the same. So I'm concerned right now with Quinn Matthews. I'm wondering if these struggles are going to kind of delay his debut. I thought this could be a guy that would be debuting maybe around this time or just over the final 2 months of the season in general for St. Louis. But now I'm not so sure. Kind of like, I think Bubba Chandler would have been up with Pittsburgh, you know, a month and a half ago if he didn't go through his little stretch with, you know, a ton of walks. So Quinn Matthews falling back down my rankings. You know, he's still at this very second top 100 for me, but maybe he's going to fall out. At this point, I in my midseason rankings that I was kind of tweeting about, and I've done articles about him, I had him ahead of Liam Doyle as the top arm in that St. Louis system, you know, which also has, you know, up there, Tekoa Roby's been getting back up there. Obviously, Tink Hentz, who's just a weird one to rank in general, but I think I might move, I don't know, unless this doesn't, you know, if this continues and this doesn't turn around over the next couple starts here, I mean, I think he's probably going to have one more start before my August update, which will be, you know, in about, what, five, six days or so at the beginning of August. Yeah, then he might be out of my top 100 and behind Liam Doyle as the top arm in the system. And I probably should have done it already, but very concerning right now with the walk rate issues for Quinn Matthews. Another lefty who's been really just not himself this year. And he's on the IL right now. A little bit of I believe it was a knee issue. Hasn't pitched since July 3rd and only made three AAA starts in general. But Noah Schultz has not looked like the Noah Schultz of old, or at least the Noah Schultz of the last couple of years, who ascended to being arguably the top lefty pitching prospect in the game. He's also having some walk issues. Like, he has 8 walks in just 11 and a third innings in AAA, and there's a lot of games with 3, 4, 5 walks for Noah Schultz. Overall this year, he's made 15 starts, 12 in AA, and 3 in AAA. He's got a 4.76 ERA. He's got a 1.71 whip and 44 walks to 71 strikeouts. That's a 14.4% walk rate and a 23.2% K rate. You know, for comparison, last year in 88 and a third innings for Schultz, he had a 6.7% walk rate and a 32.1% strikeout rate. Only 24 walks to 115 strikeouts last year, and a 2.24 ERA, 0.99 whip. Yeah, he was ascending, given the 10 starts he had in 2023, where he was dominant. You know, this guy was looking like, you know, the number one pitching prospect in the game, at least from the left side. So this year, he has not looked the same. He's much more hittable. He's giving up more walks than innings right now, more hits than innings, 72 hits in 68 innings. Not giving up a lot of home runs. That's still encouraging. Only 6 home runs allowed this year, but not missing as many bats, you know, missing the zone a lot more. So I don't know. Noah Schultz, he's still 21 though in AAA, but this is not like an ABS AAA walk issue. He had the walk issue for the entire year, as the walk rate in AA in 56 and two thirds innings, he had a walk rate of 14.4%. So this is not just an ABS thing. This has been a full, you know, the full year type of thing. And granted, you know, the ERA has jumped
a lot because of his three bad starts in AAA, where he has an 11.91 ERA. He had a 3.34 ERA in AA, but bit misleading as he had a whip near 1.6. It was a 1.59 to be exact. So, yeah, Noah Schultz definitely on the downward trend now. Like, and like with Matthews, kind of got to wonder, you know, is it warranted to keep Schultz in the top 100? I mean, I still think there's plenty of upside here. We've seen that. You know, the stuff is still nasty at times with Noah Schultz. He just hasn't been able to find the zone. And, you know, the command of his pitches has not been as great. You know, I once thought this was a guy that could, you know, be the next, you know, super fun, lanky, electric lefty coming up through the White Sox. We know they have a type. You know, they had Chris Sale, they had Crochet. I'm like, all right, Noah Schultz is the next guy in that line. 6'9", 220, you know, swing and miss stuff for days. I mean, that's what, at least up until this year, you know, with that fast, you know, mid to upper 90s fastball, you know, slider, one of the, maybe the best slider, one of the best sliders in baseball, or at least in the minor leagues, you know, solid changeup as well. You know, this guy had everything you kind of wanted from a potential frontline guy. He was limiting walks as well. Like, all the boxes were checked coming into this year. So I don't know. Yeah. Hopefully he can get it going here once he gets back from the IL. I don't think it's going to be much longer for him on the IL. He was warming up for a start on the 19th and then had experienced the knee issue or the knee discomfort. So hopefully he's back soon and pitching, you know, maybe he can regain some value here over the end of this, you know, the last 2 months of the season or the last, you know, month and a half ish or whatever, or 5 weeks, whatever there is left in the minor league season. But yeah, has not been great so far for Noah Schultz.
Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's, we help you save.
All right, though, let's go over to some positives here. Again, I like to keep it positive as much as possible on the show, especially at the end of the show, get all the negatives out of the way first. So we got six names here I wanted to talk about that are excelling in AAA, and where else to start than the guy everyone was talking about until Nick Kurtz went bonkers, Spencer freaking Jones. This guy has 13 home runs in 19 games for Scranton Wilkes-Barre. 13 home runs, 25 RBI, 27. He scored 27 runs in 19 games. What is that? For 162 game pace, I know they don't play that many in the minors, but 27 divided by 19 times 162, that's a 230 run pace, which is insane. And I know it's 19 games, but This is insane what Spencer Jones is doing. And over that time, slashing 400, 457, and 950 for a 1407 OPS. Without question. I mean, I started writing for Fantrax back in the day, right before the 2017 season. And I believe, even though I'd been doing rankings on my own before that, just for fun, you know, just for my own usage in my fantasy leagues, I've been doing rankings before that, but I think my first actual rankings got published on site, I want to say it was like July of that year. So for being in the industry with my rankings, it's been 8 years now, which seems like forever ago. But without question, the hardest player for me to rank in those 8 years has been Spencer Jones. I have no idea what I want to do with this guy. Like, literally the upside is, I'm not going to say Aaron Judge, that would be foolish, but the upside is an absolute freaking stud, right? We've seen it. The power is massive. Look at what he's doing in AAA. Power numbers in AAA. 95.3 mile an hour average exit velocity, 61% hard hit rate, and a 23.7% barrel rate. That's stupid good. Right. And I've seen this power plenty of time, you know, him being double A for a good chunk of time, double A Somerset, the Somerset Patriots. I've seen them, you know, come to Portland or New Hampshire. So I've seen that power on full display. I don't know how many games I've seen of Jones, 7, 8, 9 games or something like that. I've seen a couple home runs, seen him take batting practice. Yeah, seen it all. But even now, when he's just like on a Barry Bonds 2001 level run in AAA, the contact rate in AAA is still 63.4%. You know, so it's so hard where, you know, again, the range of outcomes, you can say this with any prospect, that's a wide range of outcomes, obviously, but you literally could have a stud who is early round fantasy asset, given that he has the power to easily hit, I might even say 40. I don't see this very often. He has the power to hit 50 home runs in a season, especially as a lefty in Yankee Stadium. Yeah, absolutely. I'd say that about any stadium. I'd say that about freaking Oracle, right? Like Kauffman, whatever, T-Mobile. Name any, you know, pitcher-friendly park. I'd say that about Jones there, too. He has the power that transcends all ballparks. Doesn't matter what ballpark he's in. He hits big boy home runs. They ain't cheapos. Power is elite, and those metrics prove it. He's also a good runner. He has 6 steals in 19 games in AAA so far. And how many for the season? 16 steals for the season. Only been caught twice. Last year, he had 43 steals in 55 attempts. So he runs. He's a good athlete for his size, and he's efficient. Like there's always three parts to go into, you know, stealing bags. A, obviously speed. B, the willingness to run. You have to be both want to as a player and be given, you know, the green light to from your, you know, manager. And then just being efficient. I think you can run yourself out of getting that green light if you're, you know, 65% success rate, but that hasn't been the case with Jones. I mean, last year was over 80%. This year, 16 out of 18. You know, he's an efficient base dealer, good athlete, insane power, but contact skills are so bad, even when he's going good like this, that it still makes you think like, man, you at least think, oh, the contact skills have been fine lately. No, they have not. The K rate has come down. I will give him that. I mean, after having, let's see, in double A, he had a strikeout rate of 33.7%. It is, it's not great right now, but it is down to a much more manageable 25.5%. Again, just 19 games, and we're talking about a guy that last year had a strikeout rate of, where was it, 200 strikeouts last year, which I think he led the minor leagues. He had 36.8% last year. Contact skills have always been, you know, those that low to mid-60s range overall, you know, barely. He's been in the upper 60s, low 70% zone. Those just aren't going to get it done. If Jones could just get to, give me 66, 67% overall in like 74, 75% zone, which are still below average. Now, average in the major leagues, zone is around 82%, and overall around like 73, 74%. I just want, I don't even need fringe average. Give me below average contact, which is still a step or two above where he is now. That could still be an absolute stud, because given how hard he hits the ball, he's going to run higher BABIPs. I mean, we see it with all these big power guys. You hit the ball harder, better chance it's going to fall, better chance you're going to be able to run higher BABIP. I mean, Aaron Judge has never been a huge contact guy. It's up this year, I believe, but there was years where Aaron Judge was like, you know, 70%, you know, contact. Like, there's been years he's been not Jones level bad, but again, I'm rambling now about that, but you get my point. You can succeed with Jones level power if you have below average contact, but I still want to see him get that contact rate up. I moved him way up my rankings now. He's back in my top 50. I think I actually have him in the 30s right now, but it's so hard because the contact skills are so bad and the power and the upside in general is so immense. So probably going to be up somewhat soon. You get a little back spasm issue going on now, but he's probably a guy that's going to be super streaky. He'll have a few weeks in the majors where he looks like an absolute league winner. Other weeks where you're like, man, I can't get this guy onto my bench fast enough. I still don't have a good idea of what Jones will be long-term. I mean, I know he'll be streaky. I can guarantee that, but does he have enough, you know, peaks to offset the valleys that are bound to be there with these contact skills? Yeah, I don't know. That's the question. At least he's got the K rate down a little bit. That's good to see. But, man, he is on one heck of a heater right now in AAA. Keeping it in New York, look who's back to pitching well with the Mets, Brandon Sproat. Sproat was, out of all the Mets pitching prospects entering the year, he was the highest ranked one. You know, it was him, and then you got to like McLean's and Jonah Tong. Now, I think a lot of rankings have that flip-flop, whether you like Tong or McLean better. I have Tong now ranked the highest of the three, then McLean, then Sproat, but Sproat has definitely turned it around. And I want to point out a tweet here from Chris Gleick, who kind of pointed this out on Twitter about a week ago now, that Sproat's a little bit of a pitch mix change, and he's also moved over more towards the first base side on the rubber. Fastball velo is up since then. I mean, this was a change made in, looks like, the mid to late June. And this is outlined in Chris's tweet and graphic that he put on a spreadsheet. Again, this was on July 21st, if you want the exact date to go back and look at it yourself. But velo, before and after this change, up about a mile and a half. He's going with more curveballs. He wasn't really using the curveball very sparsely. 4% before, now it's at the 17.6 as his most used secondary behind the four-seamer. He's going a little bit more four-seamers as well by about 4.5%, 4% or so. Changeup usage rate is also up. Sinker is down. Sweeper is down. And slider is down. So really more curveballs and changeups is kind of where he's kind of gone here. And the curveball is even being thrown harder too by about 2 ticks as well. And the results have absolutely been there. I mean, he was, you know, entering that start. So that first start after that was on 6/28. In 15 starts before that, Sproat had a 5.95 ERA and a 2.66 batting average against, on base allowed of 370. 32 walks to 43 strikeouts during that time. That was a 11.5% walk rate and only a 15.5% strikeout rate. So, like, hey, where did the strikeouts go? I mean, there's a lot of things going wrong there, but man, like, the strikeout rate plummeted for Sproat this year to the point where, you know, he was consistently falling 20, 30 spots. I think he got down to as low as 150 to 160 for me in my early June update after being, I want to say, I mean, I could probably pull it up here, but I'm pretty sure he was like 60 to 70 range for me entering the season. And then like that back end top 10 pitching prospect discussion, which now Tong's in and maybe McLean. But after the changes, it's been a much different Sproat that we've seen over the last five starts. 28 innings in those five starts, 13 hits, 2 earned runs, which I think came in his last start. So 4 shutouts in, or not full shutouts, but 4 straight starts of 0 earned runs before that. And 8 walks to 30 strikeouts. Hey, that's a much better strikeout to walk ratio. Overall, that is a 7.8% walk rate and a 29.4% strikeout rate. I mean, these are tangible changes, like Chris pointed out. He made a change. Good things have resulted from that change, and the results are following suit. So, I mean, I still have him third out of these 3 pitching prospects, you know, in New York, but he's definitely trending back up now. So if you can still use the overall line, and you know, maybe people haven't really caught on to the fact that he's been pretty good for the last month, and you can use that overall line, you know, from this season, which I'm sure the ERA is still super high overall. What is it? For the season, yeah, it's 4.30 with a 1.29 whip. And people see that along with the mediocre walk strikeout rates. You can use that to your advantage because Sproat has definitely turned it around. And maybe we even see him with the Mets, you know, by the end of the season. All right, back to the hitting side here. The last 4 are hitters. You know, one of the other hottest names in AAA who isn't, you know, getting talked about quite as much because of what Spencer Jones is doing, and then obviously Nick Kurtz at the major league level. But, you know, Owen Casey has done a lot of good lately in AAA. This is a guy that has always been very intriguing, you know, given the power he's shown. But he's really improved this year steadily throughout the season in terms of being a pure hitter and not just being that power guy who we weren't sure if he was a hit, you know, 240 or above. If you look at Casey's zone and overall contact rates, which I included, if you read cross-examination, it was a few days ago. So this July stats are, you know, a few days old at this point, but you know, Casey has improved his zone and overall contact rates every month this season. In April, he was 72.6% zone and 62% overall. So for the zone, it's gone from 72.6 to 78.1 in May, 80.3% in June, 85.2% as of a few days ago in July. Overall, went from 62% to 68.8% to 74.1% to 76.5%. That is a consistent upward trend in both areas, and he's done so. It wasn't like he sacrificed, you know, power for contact, like sometimes happen. Now, he's still been hitting home runs. He's been hitting home runs consistently this year. And even really, actually, he's hitting more home runs now. He had 3 home runs in 17 games in April, 3 in 24 games in May. So 6, well, if you include the 2 from March, the 1 home run in 2 games in March. So that's 7 home runs in his first 43 games through the end of May. And then in his last 38 games through June and July, 13 home runs. He had 5 in 22 games in June, 8 so far in 16 games in July. So I bumped him back up. He was around that top 100-ish range, give or take. Casey's now back up in my top 50 because, you know, these, again, are tangible changes. I don't think it's been luck-based. He's improved the contact. You know, the K rate still, you know, a bit higher. You know, even last month, it was 29%, but this month in 16 games, it's only 19.7%. So we'll see if that trend can continue as well. But if Casey can just be a, you know, 250 to 260 hitter, you know, there's 30 plus home run pop here with Casey. You know, he's always been a decent walk rate guy as well. I mean, walk rate last year was 12.9%. Year before that, 14.4%. This year, 12.8%. So it's been over 12.5% each of the last 3 years. Always been a guy that gets on base at a good clip. 382 career OBP guy in nearly 500 minor league games at this point. So you're talking about a guy that, you know, has been brought along, I wouldn't say slowly, but at a fairly reasonable level, you know, spending a good chunk of time at every level. You know, 2022, he had 105 games in high A. 2023, 120 games in double A. Now he's been at triple A for a bit now. I will say that he's kind of, you you know, been there for each of the last 2 years now with 208 games total. But it's kind of hard to get him in, you know, the Cubs lineup, especially with Tucker now in the mix, where their outfield, you know, is Tucker, you know, it's C.S. Suzuki, PCA, or Suzuki's been mostly DHing, but then Ian Happ too. So it's not like there's a clear-cut open spot. All those guys have been pretty good. Nobody's been, you know, either they're two studs, you know, especially really three studs if you include Suzuki, and Happ's been still pretty solid. So got to wonder where he fits into their plans, when he fits into their plans. You know, I think the Cubs are definitely looking to add pitching or a third baseman. You know, I've heard them linked to Eugenio Suarez and various pitchers, and they're saying, you know, I think the last rumor I heard was Mitch Keller, who is very whatever. But they even said that they're willing to include, you know, an Owen Casey in the deal. So I think that would be good for his value. I mean, depends on where he ends up, but, you know, he's in a good system with a good home ballpark. So, you know, maybe that goes down if he goes into a more pitcher-friendly park or whatever. But regardless of where he ends up, there's a good chance that he has a much clearer path of playing time than he does right now with the Cubs. So Casey turning back up. Again, these contact skill increases month to month. It wasn't like it's been like the last month. It's been steadily the last, you know, 4 months. So very encouraged by that. And he's definitely moving back up. And I still had Bias Harris ahead of him in my last update. I feel like that might change because I think now that Casey's showing these better contact skills, Bias Harris is still the better pure hitter, in my opinion. But I think the gap between the two of them in the hit tool department is now not quite as large as the gap in the power department. I mean, Bias Harris has fine power, solid power, you know, above average power potential, but Casey has, again, 30 plus homer potential long term. So Casey moving back up, and I'm definitely buying into what we've seen. A couple of guys that have been at AAA a little bit less than Owen Casey, but recently bumped up: JJ Weatherholt, Sal Stewart with the Cardinals and Reds respectively. I mean, Weatherholt is highly thought of, but I don't know if he's like thought of in like as a universal, like top 15, top 20 prospect. I currently have him 14th right now. Definitely could get into that top 10 range at some point soon. You know, Weatherholt is one of those prospects that I think when it comes to top prospects, like top 25 caliber prospects, he's a little bit boring compared to the rest, because most of those guys have like at least one loud tool, you know, whether it be, you know, power, speed, whatever. JJ doesn't have that. He is just really solid across the board. I mean, he's on fire since getting to AAA, 4 home runs in 10 games, hitting 342, 405, 816 for the year in 72 games between AA and AAA, 307, 423, 517, 11 home runs, 14 steals, more walks than strikeouts as well, 15.1% walk rate, 14.5% strikeout rate. He's been running. It's dipped a little bit in AAA, you know, both zone and overall. But for the year, contact rate over 80% and only a 7% swing and strike rate. And this is an above average hitter. You know, I think there's above average power as well, and above average speed. I mean, it's not one of those like big, loud profiles, but when you kind of put all the parts together, I mean, if you want to some of the parts, sure, but I think that's selling them a little short. But, you know, when you put all the parts together, you know, you put the hit tool, the power, the approach, which the approach does stand out for sure. You know, this is a guy that could be a very valuable fantasy commodity from the middle infield. And, you know, he's been playing a lot of short. And does he move over to second, move over to third? We'll see. Obviously, Mason Wynn is there. But since he got the AAA, I mean, you look at the power. I mean, he doesn't hit like, you know, 30 plus home runs a year type of power, but could this guy be like a 25-ish home run guy, low to mid-20s? Absolutely. Small sample size, sure, but it's a 92.2-mile-an-hour average EV, 53% hard hit rate, 19% barrel rate so far in AAA. And Weatherholt could be up this year with St. Louis. I mean, he's one of the, you know, more polished bats in the minor leagues, and this is a guy that could go 2020 or either flirt with it or exceed it annually while having, you know, 270, 280 average and a high OBP as well. Be that really rock solid five category guy. So Weatherholt, you know, he's pushing top 10. He really is. And it's kind of a cluster. So You know, that doesn't take much to for some of these guys to move up or down a few spots with how tight that like 7, 8 to 15 or so range is. That's kind of a big glob. So, yeah, Weatherholt could absolutely be top 10 soon. And as for Sal Stewart, talk about underrated. I mean, this guy is a top 100 prospect, and I think most people think that. But you know, I think that he's one of the higher floor guys in the minor leagues. You know, I hate, you know, people sometimes like, oh, boring, high floor, blah, blah, blah. But with Sal Stewart, you know, I hate comps. And everyone that knows me knows I hate comps. I don't like doing them. I'm bad at it. I can't ever think of good comps. But with him, I kind of get some like Brian Reynolds vibes. And I know Reynolds hasn't been great this year, but Reynolds has been a very steady, like back end top 100 guy entering this year for what, the last half decade or so with Pittsburgh as being like that steady outfield two, outfield three type for your fantasy team. And yes, Stewart's not an outfielder. He's a third baseman, but I think he could be like that same type of guy where it's not flashy. It's not a guy that you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to build around Sal Stewart. He's going to be my future at this third base spot. But I think he's going to be a really solid major leaguer. I mean, in his first 8 games in AAA, already has 4 extra base hits, 3 of those home runs, 281 average. He hasn't walked yet in 8 games, which is kind of unusual, but 594 slug. So only 4 strikeouts in 32 plate appearances. And this is a guy who even though he's not walking as much as he did in years past, I mean, actually the walk rate's almost been cut in half from 14.8% last year to 7.5% this year. I mean, the K rate has been very, very steady and like that 15-ish% range, give or take a little bit either way. This year it's 15.2%, hitting .304 overall. Looking at, you know, above average contact rates, you know, this year he's been right around 80%. Last year was around 82 to 83%. Year before that, 79. Year before that, 82. I mean, it's been 80-ish% every year of his career, getting back to just the complex level way back in the day. Way back in the day, it was 2022, so it wasn't like that far ago, but it was like forever ago, you know, when Stewart broke in. But you know, he was a 32nd overall pick back in 2022 in the comp round, second pick in that comp round. Still only 21 years old. He feels like a guy that should be a bit older than that, but he'll be 21 the entire year. Doesn't turn 22 until December, and we could see him in Cincinnati this year. And yeah, the power is not massive with Stewart. It's probably around average power, maybe a hair above. So really, it's 55 grade hit tool. Now maybe I would even be opposed to you throwing a 60 grade on it, but I feel more comfortable with 55. But even a 55 hit, 50 power guy in Great American Ballpark, you know, 280 and 20 plus are not out of the question here with Sal Stewart. So I think he's super underrated. I think he's still a good value target because I have him right in that top 50 range now. I don't think the price tag and perceived value are top 50 range. They're probably more like, you know, top 80 to 100 range, if I had to guess. I mean, maybe I'm off on that line of thinking, but I definitely don't think the perceived value and price tag are as high as I personally value a Sal Stewart. So, you know, very good pure hitter. You know, won't provide you any speed, even though he does have 14 bags. Well, he does have 14 steals this year. He's a below average runner, but maybe he even gives you like a handful, but I wouldn't expect more than that, even given the steal totals the last few years. But just a really solid hitter, you know, high floor type going into a good ballpark. Yeah, I think there's a lot to like here with Sal Stewart. Could see him this year and super undervalued in general. All right, last up for this episode, not a prospect, but back down AAA and starting the heat up, finally, Christian Campbell. Campbell was hitting very well in April. And we remember that he's off to a very hot start with Boston. You know, even at the end of April, even though he's, you know, started to slump a little bit, you know, he was still hitting .301, .407, .495. And actually, no, he wasn't really slumping. He had no hits in his last game in April, but before that, he had 3 straight multi-hit games. You know, he had what, 1, 2, 3 home runs in April, 1 in May, or 1 in March, and those few games in March. So he had 4 home runs his first 29 games, and then it was a steady downfall in May where he just wasn't hitting well at all. Slash line fell from .301, .407, .495 to .227, .314, 351. June, it kind of steadied out. Slash line was actually almost the same when he got sent down in mid-June, but he's been down with AAA for a little bit over a month now. He was sent down after his game on the 18th of June with the Red Sox, and it wasn't a good start down in AAA. I mean, the first couple games were okay, but you know, after that, he's really starting from the 29th of June through the 18th of July, so basically the last couple weeks before the All-Star break, and then the first game out of it, 154, 279, 250 slash line. Now he's on an eight-game hitting streak since then. He's got multiple hits on each of the last three games, and he has three home runs in his last 12 games, or three in his last 13 games, excuse me. So starting to get back up. He's been walking still a good amount, no walks in his last few games, but keeping the K rate more in check recently. Been playing, you know, pretty much split between first and second base, which the Red Sox still need a lot of help on that right side of the infield. They've been having Gold Glover Sedan Rafaela, or Gold Glove caliber Sedan Rafaela, down at second base to help out there. But I think you can see Campo recalled here soon. And I've been saying that even when he was struggling the first few weeks in AAA after getting optioned back down there, don't give up on the guy. I mean, this guy is still very talented. He could be a, you know, top-tier second baseman long-term. I mean, the second base spot is still kind of weird, where, you know, Jazz has been playing well, but he often gets hurt. Ketel Marte, phenomenal, but you know, a little older at this point. He's on the wrong side of 30. Jackson Holliday has been, you know, decent, decent slash good, not great, not like a standout. So still a very weird top of the, you know, rankings for this position. So I still think Campbell could be a top tier second baseman for fantasy long term. So especially if you're a team not contending this year, I would absolutely be looking to buy low on Christian Campbell. Talent is still there. I'm very much a believer in 2024 and what we saw in April before he had that little rib issue, which cost him a few games. So go out, get you some Christian Campbell right now, because the price tag, honestly, might never be lower going forward than it is right now. All right, that's going to wrap it up, though, for this episode. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back with you again next week with a guest with me for that episode. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.